The book of Ephesians. We'll start in chapter 1. Hallelujah. As I was reading through the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 4, I'm just going to toss this out at you as extra. Ephesians 1, 4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him. He chose us in him. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And I looked at this word foundation, and in the New Testament, the word foundation is like what we would say, you conceived. A woman conceived and became pregnant. So before he even conceived of the world, before the foundation of the world, before he started to bring it forth, he chose you in him. He chose you before he ever started to create this world and this system. And in the Hebrew, the word for foundation means a fixed place. And I think this is interesting in regard to that, because the world sits in its fixed place. You'll never find it somewhere far across the galaxy someplace else. It is always the right distance from the sun. It's exactly the right distance from the moon, that we have gravity and everything works. It's in its fixed place. You are fixed in him, in his foundation. You're fixed in him. We're fixed in him. I like that. I'm fixed. I'm found perfect, immovable, stable. I love that. But that's not the message tonight. But it's good, isn't it? I mean, it's good to know that. It's good. All the word of God is good. It's good for us. Verse 17. And you've heard me say this. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling and the glorious inheritance that he has in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all power and principality and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. Now, here in verse 17, Paul, who is writing this, this is his prayer for the church. His prayer is that you might have wisdom, that we might have wisdom, that I might have wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's his prayer. That's his ongoing prayer. He prays that again in Ephesians, and then he prays it again in Colossians. It's not exactly the same words, but it is the same prayer. That you would have wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We need to have wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. See, we can go around and we say, I know God, I know God. I go to church, I go to this church, and I know God, and you should come and you should meet God. And that's fine and that's wonderful, and everybody needs to meet God. God the way he is. But beyond meeting him, there's a revelation of him. There's an understanding. There's a wisdom in the knowing of him and what his plan is for us. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Okay, let's look at, flip over to Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, and see, we're talking here, what is his plan? What is his call for you? What is his call for the church? He wants us to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, right? I mean, he makes that pretty clear. The word of God is written by men of God who are inspired by God, by the Spirit of God, to write the words of God. Now, you can go and you can look at Job. There's a lot of things that are not inspired of God in the book of Job, namely his wife and his friends. But honestly, you know, I mean, you know, if I were really sick and having a hard time, and everything was falling around apart about me, and Kathy came in and said, well, why don't you just curse God and die? Well, that's not inspiration from God. No, that's just natural carnal thinking. Well, things are so bad, just go ahead and die. Just go ahead and die. Get it over with. No. You know, that last song, you know, nothing is impossible. We have to live by faith, not by what we see, not by how we feel, but by what God says. Nothing shall be impossible to them who believe. If you believe, all things are possible to you. Okay? We're to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. See, I can pray this prayer all day, but if I don't believe it, if I don't believe that on some level I'm getting the spiritual wisdom and revelation that's going to help me, that's going to give me the kind of godly influence and the kind of godly advice that I need, the spiritual leading from my spiritual father. You know, I went through this phase and I was looking at the different names of God, and I kind of like, I liked Hashem. And I got Hashem. It's like a sneeze. Hashem. And you know what it means? It means the name. That's it. It just means the name. Because under the Old Testament, with the Jewish people, without the revelation of God, without being saved, without having been removed from underneath the curse of sin and death, without getting a heart transplant, where God gives us a new heart of flesh and takes out our heart of stone, you can't really know God. You know, to this day, many people, even this is silly. Instead of even writing God, they write G/D instead of writing God. It is possible in all of our understanding to get so deep that they're going to need a microscope to find you, to pull you out. Every one of us needs a revelation, but a revelation that takes you so deep that you start to lose an intimacy and a relationship with God is not a revelation. It's a distraction. Anything that takes us away from what God has for us is a distraction. Ephesians chapter 4. Start in verse 16. We're going to read a few verses of scripture here. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What does that say? That's talking about you, sweetie. You're a joint. You are compacted together in the body, jointly fit together with a function. Every single one of us is jointly fit together in the body. Has anybody ever seen the Western Wall, pictures of it in Israel? And you see those stones, and they're different kinds of shapes, and they're different sizes, and each one kind of looks different and unique, like a cornucopia filled with a variety of vegetables and things, and you've got to really pack stuff in there to really make it fit and nice. The wall is packed together really nice, and all the different pieces, you've got a little Doreen in one spot, and a Jeff in another, and a Jolene in this spot. But each and every one is put together in the body for a purpose of supporting the whole body. Okay? So that's the picture that's being painted here. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. What did this just say? Okay, you're not a Gentile. You're not just some random person out on the street who doesn't know God. You're part of this body that's jointly fit together. Why does it seem the world is so sinful? Because it's the world, it's full of sin. No big mystery there. Sinners do what sinners do. The lost do in the dark what the lost do in the dark. They stumble over each other. They bump into walls. They fall down. But we are not of them, are we? We're no more henceforth lost as they are, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye are not so learned Christ, have not so learned Christ. If so, be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now, when we say that you've been taught by him, Jesus has never stood here in the physical, has he? He's never stood here. He's never just preached to you the Sermon on the Mount and the parable of the sower. But through his word and through the ministry gifts, he preaches. Through your reading, through your opening of this Bible, when you open this Bible, whether it's in paper or it's on electronic format, either way, it's still the word of God. Some people, it's not the real Bible if it's not King James. Oh, pooey. It's the real Bible if it's the real Bible. Okay? If it's got the word of God in it, it's got the word of God in it, whether you're listening to it on a CD in your car, on an MP3, reading it on your iPhone or your Samsung or your LG or your iPad or whatever device, or you're reading it from the Bible because you just like the way pages smell, like my wife does. She just likes the way books smell. Okay? He is preaching. And when we read his word, he's preaching to us. He's speaking to us. When we read the Bible, he's speaking to you. And when we open our hearts and we allow him to speak to us through his word, then he is being preached. That you put off, verse 22, concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. That's not talking about you, Michael. The old man. I called him old man at the pool the other day. I think that's why he really chased me. I said, oh, the old man's getting in the pool. You didn't hear that before, did you? Okay. I might be in more trouble after church tonight. Okay, but this is talking about the old man, the old sinful man, the one that is corrupt, the one that is bound under sin, the person that you were before you came to Christ. You're not that old person anymore. Stop living their life. Stop living their guilt. Stop living their condemnation. You're not under that anymore. That's what we're not under. Come on, baby, because there's a lot of things that we could be under if we let it, right? Ugh. Not Kathy. She was saved when she got born. She had a brief period when she was about 5. She had a drinking problem. Oh, my gosh. No, I'm not going to go there. At verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, here we're talking about you've been born again. You're not a Gentile. You're not a sinner anymore. You're not that corrupt person anymore. Well, how come sometimes I think like that old person? Because the big battle, honey, is right up here. It's getting this lined up with the word of God. It's becoming who he says you are. All things are possible. We're to walk by faith, not by sight, not by feeling. I was under a lot of temptation to really be stressed and just get in my car and drive back to from Tahoe so I could be by my dad, who was in a hospital being taken care of really well and told me to stay. And everybody else was taking care of everything here. I really had to walk in faith about that. I had to force myself. This is weird. I'm in Tahoe. I had to force myself to have fun. You know what I'm saying? But that's the way it is for us. We have to, instead of thinking, well, this is just, you know, because I talked to my cousin and he's not born again, and he called today, and I said, well, didn't you get my email update yesterday? No, I haven't checked my email. I've just been so worried about Uncle Ted. And I said, well, I told you the other day, I said, he's fine. I mean, he's better off than most people half his age that are going through this because he's in better health to start with. And I told him that, and I said, don't worry about him. He's okay. The doctors all say he's okay. If he suddenly died, it is not the end of the world either, because he just gets to go to be with Jesus and my mom. You know, for us, we see death that way. Death is just us being separated from the earth. But we're with him. It's not the end of the world for us. For people who aren't saved, man, this is it's tormenting. Both my cousins are like, I'm just so worried about Uncle Ted. You know, he and your mom were like second parents to us. And, you know, because both their parents have passed away. And I was just so worried. And I'm like, why? Why? But that's how they are. They're not renewed in their mind to trust God no matter what. Like the song said, whether it's raining or sunny, trust him. Whether it's good times or bad, we've got to trust him. I'm not ever going to get finished with this tonight. That's a shame. Verse 24. After verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. True righteousness and true holiness. Once we come to him and we put off that old man and we're just constantly renewed in our mind with the word of God, that we're not going to be the person that we used to be. I'm not bound to the person I used to be. I'm not bound to the things that used to bind me. He's loosed my bondages. He's removed my chains. Now I just need to get my brain thinking the way he thinks about me. I'm righteous and holy. Come on, say that with me. I know it might be hard. I'm righteous and holy. I'm righteous and holy. I'm righteous and holy. Come on. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Lying to other people is tantamount to lying to yourself and lying to Jesus. Do you think Jesus doesn't know? I had a young person come to me. And I'm not going to tell you what they were doing, but this young person comes to me and says, well, you know, such and such has been happening and you know, this and that. And I said, yeah, I know. It's a small town. And person thought I was really going to come down hard on him. But, you know, sometimes people get distracted. And we do things that we know we shouldn't do. Or we do things and we think, well, gosh, you know. It's like my buddy Len was here on Sunday, and apparently he preached, and some of the things he said got people really thinking about their spiritual lives. And so he got to thinking about his spiritual life, and he wanted to talk to me and thought this was really going to go south for him. And I said, hey, listen, you know what? And I gave him some biblical examples and some scriptures, and I said, I'm not condemning you, but you know, there's some things you got to let me know, you know, because Pastor loves you, and Pastor does. Anyway, let's keep reading. We're members one of another, and when we do things that we know we shouldn't, it literally affects the whole body. When you stub your toe, do your eyes not water? Do you not scream something probably that you would not normally scream? Or when you slam your finger in the bathroom door? you go, oh, what? It's the same spiritually speaking. When we're having trouble, if I'm suffering, if I'm having a hard time in an area of my life and I'm giving over to things that I shouldn't give over, I mean, just think about the history of this church. A beloved pastor here for many years, did it not affect the entire body? Did it not actually affect this entire community? Everything we do has consequences. Now, I guarantee you, in a case like that, God tried dealing with him multiple times, And he could have found his way back and the thing covered and moved on and been blessed. But that's where it comes down to us, and we have to say, you know what? I made a mistake. I need to get right. See, David was a man after God's own heart. Right? But he sent another man, another woman's husband off into the front lines to get killed so he could have her as his own. After they'd been having an affair and she got pregnant and he needed a way to cover it up. But when he realized what he had been doing was wrong, because a prophet came and told him, he got right. He repented. But David is a man after God's own heart. Now, as believers, we're parts of the same body. We're all part together. We're all, you know, it's all in the family, you know what I mean? We're all together, we're all here. When one of us stumbles, we need to be the kind of people that pick the person up. Brush them off. Comfort them. Help them. Not spit in them. Pour vinegar on the wound. We're supposed to love each other, nurture. That's how, if I wouldn't lie to my own body. Anyway, we need to go on. But you get the point. Be ye angry and do not sin. So you can get angry and it's not a sin. Right? You get angry and you start hitting somebody. Now you're in sin. You get angry and say, I don't want to ever see you again. That's sin, because that's division, right? Okay? Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So there's a time frame on how long you're even allowed to get angry. You can get angry, but honey, when it's bedtime, you best apologize. Because the Bible actually says your prayers are hindered, honey, husbands, when you're angry at your wife. Did you know that? It doesn't say, wives, when you're angry at your husbands, your prayers will be hindered. It says, husbands, when you're angry at your wives, your prayers will be hindered. Man, it always seems like God's working on me personally, no matter what I'm doing. I've always said that God likes Kathy better, and perhaps it's just he likes women better. I don't know. Neither give place to the devil. So being angry is linked into giving place to the devil in your life. When we're angry, we give the devil a place to work in our lives. Hey, Jim, do you want to turn the swamp cooler off? You're welcome. I see one of the members of our body suffering in cold back there, and I thought, well, we're gonna be kind. Neither give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his own hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving, even as Christ has forgiven us. Ephesians chapter 2. See, we've got the equipment. We've got what we need. God tells us what to do. He tells us how to behave. You know, I like when people say we're not under the law anymore. Okay. You find where the law isn't mentioned like 100 times in the New Testament that you're following it. I mean, verbatim, you know, don't commit adultery. Well, you can't tell me that. I'm not under the law. Okay, well, you tell your wife that. Honey, we've got grace. Not like that we don't. I really hate our neighbor. Where's my gun? Well, honey, that's murder. We're under grace. We're under grace. Hallelujah. We are under grace. We're under grace that strengthens us and enables us and helps us in time of need. Verse 18 of chapter 2. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. See, that's where I, in my study, and I come across the foundation. Remember, we went back to foundation? We're fixed, steadfast, in the foundations of the apostles and prophets. Okay? And are built upon, verse 20, the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. You know what the cornerstone is? In building, it's the first stone you put down, and all the other stones are built on around it. It's the cornerstone, but all the other stones are fit in with it. We are jointly fit together with him. He's the chief cornerstone. All the weight falls on him. But we're part of him, jointly fit together with him. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now there's a lot, you know, people talk about, you know, the first temple, the second temple, there's going to be the third temple. Well, we're the eternal temple. We're the eternal tabernacle of God. We are where God will dwell eternally. He dwells in us. We dwell in him. John 17 says that Jesus is praying that we would know that he is in us and we are in him, even as he is in the Father and the Father in him, us in him and us in the Father. We are jointly fit together with God. We are not just random people out there in the world. We're part of the physical, spiritual temple of God. We are where God resides. He is holy. We are holy. Remember? Scripture said, we are righteous and holy as he is. I am just as righteous. I'm as right with God. I am holy, set apart, called unto him. You are holy, set apart, called unto him. We are living stones, Peter says. Living stones joined together into a holy dwelling place for God. We're told to come out of the world and to come unto him. We're holy. You're holy. I remember the first time I read that. After I came back to the Lord, I was reading Hebrews. And it said, you are holy. I was like, I am holy. Well, I don't feel very holy. Well, you know what? I don't walk by sight. I don't walk by how I feel. I remember one time I'd graduated from Teen Challenge, and I was working as the administrator in this church that Kathy and I were at, and I had spent the most of the summer on Wednesday nights. Our pastor was very accommodating, and he let me have, I think, almost every Wednesday night one summer, and I preached on the anointing every Wednesday night for an entire summer. And one Sunday morning, this lady comes up to me and she says, well, I have this problem and you're anointed, so I want you to pray for me. And I wasn't feeling particularly anointed that day. Do you know what I'm saying? Some days you just, you know, you don't feel, you know, maybe you never even actually met God. You know, one of those days. And she said that to me, and I said to her, well, I'll tell you what, I don't feel very anointed, but I'm anointed, and you're anointed, and we're going to pray because we're both anointed. See, When we come to God, we're no longer people who live in darkness, people who don't have a revelation of God. So that's why it's important to pray what Paul prayed for you, that you would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That way, when temptations come and tribulations come and different things happen, you know, the first thing we do isn't go and, you know, like Snow White and throw ourselves in the clearing in the woods and cry until morning. Because that's not going to be effective. It might make you feel better, and sometimes we need to cry because we have emotions. God gave us emotions. But we don't stop there. We have to keep going forward because the just shall live by faith. You are justified, I am justified. You are righteous, I am righteous. You are holy, I am holy. God is the just and the justifier. He's the righteous one. He's the holy one. We're his children. I don't have to like different names of God. Like I said earlier, Hashem. Okay? And I'm really not making fun. But the point is, to me, he's Abba Father. We can come to our Father, and we can receive wisdom. We can receive understanding anytime we need. When we're faced with a situation, you know, sometimes there's the situation of, well, I've got this opportunity for a job promotion, and everything seems right, but, you know, something just doesn't feel right. Well, that's when you need to talk to Father, because he's going to help. He's going to give us wisdom and revelation. And you can go to others and say, hey, listen, I've got this situation. Because you know, you can come to me and say, I've got this opportunity for a job. But what it's going to do, it's going to require me to be away from church more. Well, do you think God wants you away from church more? No. God wants us joining together. You know, sometimes you get, you know, schedules come up and conflicts and things happen. I am probably one of the most laid-back, easygoing people about church, you know. Family visits. Oh, dear. Ashley just peeped through the door, and she's got some sort of white cream all over her face. I don't know if they're doing facials over there or not. You know, I'm not saying you have to be at church every Sunday. Because even when it comes to church, sometimes you need a break. You know what I'm saying? You get tired. You work long shifts. You've had family. You're doing vacations. And you've got kids and grandkids and school. And trust me, I get it. But we're here for each other. I got people who don't come to church all the time. I got people who don't even come to church. You know, they still contact me. They want advice. They want help. Where am I? I'm there. That's where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be there for each other. Amen? Amen. Because we are his body. We are his temple. We are his dwelling place. We're his holy habitation. The natives are getting restless. All right, well, it is 7:30, and my vow is to go for an hour on Wednesday nights, because Wednesday night is the middle of the week, and it is precious time, sweetheart. You know what I'm saying? Chuck has to be at work at, what, 6 or 6:30? 6? And that's a shorter day. That's not the 12-hour day. Amen? Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for helping us and giving us wisdom and revelation so that we can know who we are, so that we can know as your children, we're not just foster kids sent here in the world to grow up until you come to collect us, but we can know you, and we can know you intimately. We can know the kind of relationship we're to have with you, the kind of relationship we're to have with each other, and that we can be built together as your holy dwelling place here in the earth until the whole earth is filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. We thank you for it, Father. I bless every person here tonight, that you'd give them good rest and that you'd give them strength. In Jesus' name, amen.